Shir this morning dedicated Lerfua Shalema to Rafaela Chasya Pas Rochaleya Vesosha Chola Yisrael Shishavizocha Bimheira to Rafua Sanefesh and Rafua Sagofimet Hashem. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Yevivra.
Amen.
Siyata Nishmaya, we hope Hemet Hashem to journey through the remaining prakim in Mishlei and hopefully make a siyum on Sefer Mishlei this year. The truth is, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in Igros Moshe Yardei and Chelek Aleph Simakufin Vav. Rav Teichtel echoes the same sentiment in Tshuvas Mishnah Sochir. And Arachayim, that is, even if a person doesn't finish a Masechta and Shas, or a whole Seder of Mishnayos, if you have one Sefer, and it could be even one Sefer in Tanakh, based on the Pnei Yeshua, and Masechas Brachas, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, if you finish one Sefer that's taken time, that you learned well over time, Moshe says, Halach HaMais, you can make a Siyam on it, and it actually enables one to eat meat during the 9 days, etc. So hopefully, only a few Prakim to go. We left off, we're up to Pasuk Yud and Perachov Dalet. Mishlei Chavdalet, keeping in mind the Medrash and Shir Shim Rabban Parasha Aleph, Shlomo Melech gave us three primary works. Even though he wrote Mishalom Harbei, he wrote Shirim Harbei, the three primary works, of course. He gave us Sefer, Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, and Kohelet. Writes the Medrash, Shir HaShirim, that was the first Sefer that he wrote. That corresponds to his youthful years. And that's when a person singing songs. Then you get to middle age, and that's Mishlei. You give Mishalom and you give Musar Tochacha, and then you get older, and the last Sefer he wrote before is Petira, Sefer Kohelas, you finally realize it's all Hevel Havolam, Kikol Hevel, it's all vanity, what are you running after? Wealth and possessions, that's not what the Iker is in life. Shlomo Melech, who had it all, recognized that, Pesof Yomov, that's Kohelas, and we spoke at length about why Kohelas is leaned, specifically on the Yontif of Sukkot, something we spoke about not too long ago. So let's return to Sefer Mishlei, and that which he wrote in his mid-range years. And here we are, Pasuk Yud, and Shlomo says as follows, Hisrapisa v'yom tzara tzar kochecha. And now let's keep in mind, as Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's really a hemshach of the preceding verses. In the preceding verses, you could see it, that Shlomo was addressing a person's thoughts, Machashev alahareyolo, he told us in Pasuk Ches, and that person is called a Baal Mezimos, your person who is conjuring up a master of wicked and evil designs. You're always thinking about how you can harm somebody else. And Pasuk Tes continued such an idea. Someone who is foolish, someone who is always looking to make late summers of everything that's going on. Therefore, Rabbeinu Yonah understands, as Rashi and many Mefarshim do, even though literally we don't see the words in the Pasuk, Hisrapisa, it seems to simply indicate, you were lax, you weakened off, you slacked off, Yom Tzara, on a day of your Tzara. But Rabbeinu Yonah and other Rishon point out, since we've already been addressing somebody else, how you view and what's your perspective vis-a-vis other people. This Pasuk, writes Rabbeinu Yonah, continues the train of thought. Yom Tzara is not the day of your Tzara, but it's somebody else's Tzara. Are you living life? Imo anochi b'tzara. If you're going to slack it off, hisra peace, alosh and rifyo. We know a molek goddess weber feed him, writes the Gemara Machoros Daf Ayim and Beis. What's the message conveyed by Rafidim? I need to know the place of where the attack occurred. Hello, what's Rafidim? Rafu yudeyim and atorah. When you slack it off in Torah, and that's when you open up the door, then a molek can attack. Hisra peace, you got a little weak. I'm not interested. Biyom tzara, on somebody else's day, of their pain, their suffering, their affliction, then you know what's going to happen. Tzar kochecha, like the Malbim writes, mida kenegamida. Then your koach is going to be what? Is going to be narrow, is going to become limited. Meaning what? Hashem says, if you don't help out my children, then I'm not going to help you out. Mida kenegamida, measure for measure. Is that how it works? Hashem says, I want you to go ahead and strengthen yourself when you see somebody else suffering, which means what? And not only piggybacking to the preceding verses, I don't want you to think evil. I don't want you to plot and conjure up wicked and evil designs against somebody else. But you might say, okay, no problem. I don't want to harm anybody. But whatever happens to them doesn't concern me. I'm not interested in meaning what if I know somebody else is harming them. Somebody else, something bad is happening to them, and I say, I'm just dispassionate. I'm aloof, I'm not interested, I don't want to get involved. Lo sama lo dam reyecha means not just, and we'll see it, and the ensuing verses as well, not just when you see somebody drowning, Rachman al-Itzlan, but if you see somebody hurting, somebody agonizing, we're obligated to come to his or her assistance, and if not, then your own koach is going to be weakened. What's the very first midah of Moshe Rabbeinu, who became the greatest Navi ever, who became Moshiach Shel Yisrael, who became the Manig, the Melech that took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and he had so many milas. The Maral even says, as Rashi indicates at the outset of Parshas Yisrael, Ala Moshe Oli Yisrael Amo Malame Sheshakul Moshe Keneged Kol Yisrael. Rashi brings at the beginning of Parshas Yisrael, and the Maral explains the Gevurah Hashem. What does that mean? I put all of Klal Yisrael on one side of the scale, and Moshe on the other. Moshe is going to be greater. Moshe is going to be equal. It means that all the midos told us that everybody in Klal Yisrael had. And Moshe had all those midos. He had every good midah. But obviously, if the Torah is going to tell us one midah at the beginning, as the Maral points out, and the Vilna Gaon, whatever midah were introduced to us, that tells you that's his real ticket to Galus. And Moshe had so many milas. What's the first mila we know about the Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayigdal Moshe and Parsha Shmos. He goes, Vayetze Elocha Vayar B'Siv Lo Sam. And what's Vayar B'Siv Lo Sam, Rashi says? Nason Einov Velibo Lios Meitzer Aleia. Which means what? Yes, the Midrash fills in the blanks. He didn't just look on the sidelines. He went and carried the bricks, the mortar, the cement along with them. But yeah, what's the Torah teaching us? So why did the Torah say that? It's always quite interesting. If he actually went out of his way to actually... So why did the Torah tell us? Torah says what? And not everybody is always in a situation that you can carry the bricks. Who says they even would have allowed it? The key is, Nosan ain't a believo. All right, the Al-Shech, let's say you can't do anything to help somebody else. You know what you can do? And you can always daven. All right, so Moshe Al-Shech, right here in the Pasuk. I don't think, well, I can't do anything. What am I going to do? I heard about this tragedy in Eretz Yisrael. What can I do? Of course you can do. You can daven for the family. You can daven for the victims. And there always is tefillah. And that's where the Torah left it out. You might think, oh, why is Moshe great? Well, he was the prince. He was able to do whatever he wanted. He was able to carry the bricks and help them build the pyramids, etc. Torah says, what? Then we're going to leave for the Midrash Chazal. From our viewpoint, all we need to know is what? That he went out to them. He stood in the sidelines. Vayar, and he related to them. And he commiserated, he empathized, and he felt their pain. Anason eino volibali yosmeit sarleya. And what's the Mida Kenega Mida? We saw it pretty soon after. What then happened? Who was the first one? Then, where Hashem reveals, Shmi Hashem lo nadati lem, I didn't reveal my shame etzim to the elders, but to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to reveal it. And he talks to him by the snare. And why the lowly bush? Why a low bush? Rashi says, Hashem wants to tell Moshe, Imo Anochi Betzara. Klai Yisrael suffering, I'm not coming in a masterful tree. Tzadik katama yifrach, like the mighty palm tree. I'm going to reveal myself to you where? And a lowly, humble bush. Imo anochi betzora. Hashem says, you showed imo anochi betzora. Klampi klai yisrael, klampi my children. I'm going to reciprocate. I'm going to come down. Imo anochi betzora. And through that context, I'll reveal and I will speak to you. And I will in turn even disclose my shame etzem, my true name. And the shame havaya yudke vokke. To you, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to reveal it all. Why? His godliness was Vayigdal Moshe, in the same pasuk, the same breath. Vayigdal Moshe, Vayitzelach Vayar Misavlosam. He was Nosan Einov Velibo. That means first you have to look. You always have to have your eyes open. I have to be looking. Who can I help? Whom I can be a beneficiary of my acts of loving kindness on my chesed. And then Libo, you got to feel it in your heart. And therefore, answer the Al-Shuch, you got to daven. No matter what the situation, you can always daven. This week's parsha, Parshas Noach, what does the Zohar say? Ki mei Noach zosli. Why is the great Oyush? Why is the flood? And this Yachis attributed to Noach. And what did he do? He was a tzaddik. The Targum Unkla says, he was a tzaddik sholem. What did he do? Al shalom, his spalil al doro. And the other day, yes, Noach, he said to himself, so what am I going to change the whole society? I'm going to change the world. They're not going to listen to me. But you know what you could do? And you could daven, and you didn't daven enough. Many of the Mepharshim say he did daven. The Beis Yosef and others say daven, but he didn't daven enough. He should have davened more. You can always daven more, and that was his mistake. What's Noach? Noach is Loshem Menucha. Menucha, everything is fine. I'll just sit, I'll rest on the sidelines. And you got to take action. You can't go to be passive. And that's what this pasuk is teaching us. It's a piece. If you just slack off a little bit, Abiyom Tzor, on a day that somebody else has a Tzorah, and then you know what's going to happen? Your own Koach is going to be diminished. And your inability, you'll say, well, that person, let's say, can't go and rescue himself or herself. I'm going to sit in the silence. You know what's going to happen? The punishment is not just that Hashem won't come to your assistance, but Tzar Kochecha. I'm going to make it narrow. I'm going to limit. Even if you think if you would be in a similar situation, you might have the koach to go out and overcome and to save yourself. I'm not going to allow yourself to be saved.
Does this apply to non-Jews also? If you walk in the street, you see somebody just fell.
You have to be amenged. It's an idea of making Kiddush Hashem. But Lamaisa, how do we even know Hashava's gufo? The Gemara says Hashava Savedo. If we have to return to Jews Avedo, Kavachomer Hashava's gufo. So we have no chiyuv. We don't return lost objects necessarily of the goyim, and we're not mechuyev to go in and pick up that guy who fell. But it's a Kiddush Hashem. If you can make a Kiddush Hashem, 100%. Gemara says a brochus yedzainam and alvav yochanam and zakeh the gold hador. Hiktim Sholom Afilu the Nachri Shebashuk. He didn't even wait. He said in the morning first. I remember years ago when we moved from Sage to Henry Road, so walking to Shul on Shabbos morning, there was a Spanish woman who obviously is working as a housekeeper in somebody's home, and every morning she's on her phone. Every Saturday, it's amazing. Every Saturday morning she's walking this way, I'm walking toward the White Shul, she's walking down each light. And I remember the first morning, she was on the phone, I said, hi, good morning. She dropped her phone. She was so nervous. She thought, what's going on? And she said, oh, I just wanted to wish you a good morning. And so then finally, every subsequent Saturday, she would hold on tight to her phone. She'd still be on her phone. And I'd say, oh, good morning. And I'd still beat her to it. And you have to be makdim sholem afilu now. You got to beat them to the good morning. Halacha l'maaseh, Yaakov Emden even writes, in his Perush Lechem Shemayim at Perkei Avos, Mishnah and Avos, Perkei Avos, Mishnah and Avos, Hillel Omer, Hevi Mitamid of Shalaran, Oiv Sholem, Rodev Sholem, Oiv Sabrius, Makam of the Torah. Who's Oiv Sabrius? Doesn't say Oiv Israel, doesn't say Oiv Yehudim. Oiv Sabrius is the all inclusive term, and you have to love everybody. You have to love all of Hashem's creatures. All the B'nai Noah. I'm sorry? So that's the question. Riyakim, Makam of the Torah doesn't mean teaching them Torah. In fact, we have a Gemara and Chagigah Afiyat Gemara and Aleph that it's also to teach Goyim Torah. We don't go in and teach Goyim Torah. Not only that, Sanhedrin and Testament Aleph Reish Lakish, Goy Shosei Petoras Chayim Isa. Hamakar of the Torah means we bring them to the ways of Torah. We bring them to the ways that they can do their Zayim Mitzvah. It's been a discussion whether we encourage them now to go and learn Zayim Mitzvah, but it means to the ideologies of the Torah, to being good people. We want them, it's part of our Tikkun Olam, we want to influence all of mankind. Yes.
Should a woman go and say hello?
There's nothing in halacha that says that men cannot say good Shabbos to women and women cannot say good Shabbos to men. There's nothing in halacha. Amaral even says, what does the Mishnah say in Abbas and Perak Aleph? Al tar basicha ma'isha. It doesn't say you're not allowed to speak to a woman. It says al tar basicha, which means what? Two things. Number one, doesn't say amira, doesn't say dibur, doesn't say hagada, doesn't say sipur. What's the lashon? Siach. What's siach? Right, so Yitzhak Isaacover, it's the most basic idle chatter. It's the lowest form, the most primitive form of speech. We have five parts to our neshama. Nefesh, Ruch Neshama, Chai Yechida. What's the Rosh Hetevis? The first letters represent the outermost expression of the parts of our neshama, which is related to Koach HaDibor. What's the outermost expression? Anun Reish Nun, Nefesh, Ruch Neshama, Chai Yechida, Chesen Yud. Gematria 318, Gematria Siach. Siach, right, so Yitzhak Isaacover is the most basic, most primitive, outermost expression of our speech. Atzer the Maral says in his Der Chaim and Perkei Avos on the Mishnah. Why is the choice wording Siach? What is the Siach Hasoda? It's the wild reeds and grasses that grow in the open plains, which means what? It's not, there's no purpose, there's no direction, it's not pointed direction, right, the Maral. There's nothing wrong with having even a lengthy, pointed, directed conversation. If you work with somebody and you need to ask them questions, go over accounting, go over books, material in the office, it's pointed, directed conversation. It's only when it's siach, which is just shooting the breeze, idle chatter, schmoozing about nothing. That, and nothing wrong with saying, hello, hi, good morning, it's it, but al-tarbe, don't have too much siach. That's going to be the problem. I don't have that idle chatter. That's a Tabra Siach. But in terms of saying good Shabbos, supposedly Rav Shach, he would take walks on Shabbos afternoon and he would go in and wish good Shabbos to everybody. To everybody that he saw. Shach, the way I heard the story, to man, to woman, to child, b'cholei. Ad kedei kach, that somebody came to Rav Shach one time and he said, can I accompany the Rosh Hashiva, Panamich Rosh Hashiva, can I accompany you on your Shabbos afternoon walk? He says, I'm not going for a walk today. I says, why not? He says, the truth is I take a walk every Shabbos, and I'm usually preparing my next shiur on the walk. The walk helps me relax and helps me prepare the shiur. He says, so why are you not going on a walk today? He says, because my glasses broke. I saw your glasses broke. He says, I'll walk with you, and I'll go in and escort you. He says, no, you don't understand. He says, I need my glasses. Why? Because everybody that I pass on the street, if I see a Haredi person who learns in yeshivas, I wish him or her a good Shabbos. If I see someone wearing a kippah suga, I wish them a Shabbat Shalom and Mevorach. So I need to know everybody that I see so I know whether to get it right. I don't want to insult someone who's expecting a Shabbat Shalom versus someone who's expecting a good Shabbos. So without my glasses, I can't go in and take the walk. And you see a lot of godless in this. First of all, you see that even though he's taking a walk and preparing a shiur, he would interrupt the preparation of a shiur to make sure to wish everybody that he came together with a good Shabbos. The way I heard this story, he didn't differentiate whether it's a young child, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman. Everybody a good Shabbos. And then, of course, to go out and notice from a distance, to go out and chav, which means what? That he also didn't wait. The same way Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was mocked him shalom. And what do you mean? You don't need glasses. Just wait until they wish you. The kippah suga is going to wish you Rav Shach Shabbat Shalom. So just respond. Teretz Yisrael Rav Shach didn't want to be the one responding. He wanted to initiate. So he had to see from a distance who actually is coming my way. Does he or she get a Shabbat Shalom or a good Shabbos? Without his glasses, he couldn't take his
walk. That a little bit of gaiva?
Gaiva, anivos. He humbled himself to everybody.
To be the first.
No, that's animus. That's you might think Rav Shach, the Gol Hador, one of the Gedolei Hador, and the Rashi Maponovich, everyone should be greeting him first. He would lower himself and humble himself, to which that's the Chiddush of the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was the Gol Hador. So you might think the Gol Hador, we should be running to the Gol Hador. Wish the Gol Hador good morning. Wish the Gol Hador a great day. The fact that he would run to go ahead and wish you the good morning, wish you the good day, he would want to give you the cover. That's a sign of humility.
I went from Alishwa to Ramat Beit Shemesh, so I got a little confused because I was saying Shabbat Shalom, and then I had to say good Shabbos.
And then you had
to
switch.
Last time I was there, I started saying good Shabbos to the people in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and my people didn't answer me. And I said to my daughter, with whom I was walking, I said, you know, I don't understand this. Why aren't they saying good Shabbos back? She said, you know, Mommy, everybody in Ramat Beit Shemesh is from, and they'd be saying good Shabbos every second. I said, so the next week, I went back to America, and she calls me up. She says, Mom, I have to tell you, you were right. I started saying good Shabbos to people, and you know what, Mom? They answered good Shabbos.
There you go.
And she says, from now on, I say good Shabbos to everybody.
She'll say good Shabbos to everybody, 100%, even if it's every 2 seconds. I can pick up somebody's day, 100%. A person has to care about themselves.
Broadway, they do not answer.
Okay, we have to do what we have to do. We can't control what everybody else does, whether they respond or not, but we have to go ahead and do our best to initiate everyone. There's nothing wrong wishing a good Shabbos. In fact, I was once learning with somebody in the neighborhood, and Rav Shimon, he told me that just before Rav Shimon Galai, who was a big tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shimon Galai was visiting at his house, and this was in the winter time, and after he was visited this gevir in the neighborhood, so he went and escorted Rav Shimon Galai out to his car, and he was walking in the snow on the ice, and he got him into this car. Once he was already seated, and he's an elderly individual, he was already seated in the car, he said to this guy, he says, wait a second, I didn't say thank you and goodbye to your Eishes Chayim. He says, Rebbe, it's okay, I'll be your shliach, shluch shalom kamoso, I'll be your shliach. You're already sitting in the car. It took them 3 minutes just to walk from the entranceway and slowly in the ice to get to the car. He says, you're already seated in the car. He says, you can't be the shliach. And where do we know that from? The famous Abu Jerome. We have Chazar Sashatz. And we listen attentively to the repetition of the shliach tzibur. And yet there's one part, modim, where we have to recite our own modim. Why, writes the Abu Jerome? Because nobody can represent you in saying thank you. Nobody can say thank you better than you can. It's got to come from you, said Rav Galani, says, but it was difficult to get into the car in the snow and ice and it's freezing. Says, my wife will understand. He says, no. And he went out of the car. And he walked him 3 minutes back slowly on the ice. and to the entranceway. He waited downstairs until he called his wife. And that's it. I just want to thank you so much. Goodbye. Hatzlocha. Another 3 minutes back into the car. Because nobody could say thank you for you. We said years ago the famous story of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, when he had a life-saving surgery, when he had surgery well into his 90s, and was a famous doctor from America, a guy that came over, and after the surgery, I heard this from the person. And he went over to Rabbi Yosef and he said, "How is the Rav feeling?" And he says, "I'm feeling fine. I want to thank the doctor." He says, "Rebbe," he says, "I'll thank the doctor for Rabbi Yosef." He says, "No, Abba Jerome, I have to say thank you myself." He says, "Eich omrim todar rabba b'anglit." He says, "How do you do it?" He says, "Thank you." He says, "No, I want to know the whole thing. I want to know the whole sentence." And he says, "Thank you very much." So Rabbi Yosef practiced with him for a minute how to say in English, "Thank you very much." Called over the doctor, "Thank you very much." He said, "Rebbe, why the tircha?" Because nobody could say thank you on your behalf. You have to be the one to go in and say thank you. You have to show that appreciation. So you have to care about other individuals, hisra pisa. And we're not talking about ignoring completely. If you're just slacking off, that means if you could do more, and you're diminishing your koach, that's the mita kenegamita, tsar kochecha. And your koach is going to be weakened. And we'll get to Rav Hirsch in a second. If we could just momentarily borrow from Rav Hirsch, what's the extra hey? Kochecha. It should be kochecha. We typically invoke the masculine gender. Yad keha. Just like yad cha is spelled with a hey at the end. It's the representative of the weaker hand, the left hand. So too, your koach is going to be diminished. Because if you slack, you were lax in your koach, Hashem is going to take away your koach when you need it. In the case of an ace tzara. That is how Rabbi Yonah and many other Rishonim will learn. And now let's go to Rashi. Rashi gives us that shot as his second shot when he says, Lafib Shuto, his rapisa biyom tzaras ahuvecho lamun mineget. Like Rabbi Yonah, you slacked off and you didn't care about somebody that you love, that you care about, was suffering, and you weren't living and breathing imo nochi mitzara. So then, on the day of your Puranas, and then what's going to happen? You're going to slack off the same way Rashi says. Mordechai told Esther, if you don't stand up for Klai Yisrael, so what's going to happen? You're not going to be saved with Klai Yisrael. You're not going to be saved. Amida, you got to do your Ishtalos. So that's Rashi's Pshuto Shemekra. But what's the Drush? Rashi takes us first to the Gemara at the end of Masechas Brachos. Gemara Sama Gimel and Aleph. And it means what? Just like in Mechoras Dafei, Harifidim Rafu Yudeya Minatorah, Hisrapisa Minatorah. If you slacked off in your learning, if you weren't coming to Shiurim, you weren't learning Torah, Mechulei, or one opinion of the Gemara says you were slacking off in mitzvahs, and then you know what's going to happen. Malachi Asharis continues Rashi, Lo Yuma Amtsin Kochacha, they will not come to your assistance, they will not Chazak the Amats, they will not strengthen your strength. That's the Drush, that's the Gemara Brocha Salma Gimel. You? Halax and Torah, you're not going to get the protection. The way to have a protection from your enemies is always through learning Torah, writes the Kli Yakar. Esav says, after Yaakov stole the brachas from Esav, so what does the Torah tell us? And Parshas told us, Avayomer Esav Belibo, Yikaru Yameivol Avi, and only then Mahargas Yaakov Ochi. I have to wait for the Avelus of my father. Why? Pashup Shach. I'm not going to go in and kill Yaakov, my brother, my enemy, when Yitzchak is still alive. It'll be a patch and punim to my father. And of course, I'm, Esau says, the quintessential Mechabed Av. So what? I'm going to wait until my father dies, and then I'm going to kill him. And what's the pshat? Writes the Kli Yakar. How are you going to get him then? So you're going to want to kill him. But how do you know you're going to be successful? Because once Yitzchak dies, Yaakovino has to sit Shiva. And the Gemara says, Amoy Kotan, says Vavam and Aleph, and Ovil is usher to learn Torah. Esav knew that as long as Yaakov is learning Torah, I can't touch him. He's got a spiritual metaphysical shield around him. As long as Yaakov, the Omer HaTorah, the Yoshev Olam, is sitting and learning, and no matter what my intent, whether Yitzchak's alive or not, I'm not going to be able to lay a finger on him. Amod Vayomer Esav Libo, Yikru Yimei Evil Avi, when we're sitting Shiva together, and we're going to be in the same Shiva home, and Ovel is Osir and Talmud Tyro, he's not going to have any protection. That's why I would tell Avelim that they have to be on guard, because all the chaverim, etc., they don't have the same protection. And I have to say to him, they have to be on good behavior. Esav says, now's my opportunity, writes the Kli Yakar, to get Yaakov, because he won't have the protection of Torah. If we slack off in our Torah, and then what? And then Hashem says, I'm going to let your enemies through. Same with Chavetz Chaim used to say, we have a famous stira. Mor tells us in Yuma Daf 10-7 base, and why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? And Gimel Averus Chavurah, Shvichas Dama Bonazor Gilarayis, second Beis HaMikdash, Sin Aschina. I, we have a Gemara though in the Darn Pei Aleph Amin Aleph from Bav Metzia Pei Amin Aleph, and it says, they didn't know why is the Beis HaMikdash getting destroyed. Hashem said, Ozma Nes Tarasi, they abandoned my Torah, and the Gemara's conclusion is, Ashalo Birchum Abrocha Tchilo, which Rabbeinu Yona says, the Rabbeinu Nisim says, on the Daf, the Ran, he says, it means they didn't say the Brachas Torah with Kavana, they didn't say it Pesimcha, they weren't, they asked the Chavetz Chaim, what do you mean? First Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the Gimel HaMeir's Chamurus, the three cardinal sins. Second one, Sin, what are you introducing to no reason? What do you mean? Because they didn't learn enough Torah. What do you mean because they didn't give it enough of a chashivas? What's going on here? Explains the Chavetz Chaim, the Gemara Yuma is the real Gemara. And Bayis Rishon was Nechrov, Gimel HaMeir's Chamurus. Bayis Sheni is Sin Eschina. But if you have the Torah, you can be misaking everything. If you have the Torah, then you formed a metaphysical shield and the Goyim cannot penetrate. They can't break through. So the question the Gemara says is, the Chacham wanted to know, how is it possible we're losing a Beis HaMikdash? How is it possible the Goyim are coming through? And yes, we might be guilty of the three cardinal sins. Yes, there might be baseless hatred. But so we say, Torah says, you know what? Lo bircha bracha tchila, you slacked off in your Torah. You weren't learning with the same Kavanah. You weren't learning with the same passion, with the same bread. Thus, explained the Chavetz Chaim, that's why you didn't have the protection of the Torah. Usually, Ha'or Shebo Machzira Lamutov, the flame and the light of the Torah can go in and bring you back onto the right track. But what happened? They slacked off on Torah. And that's when Amalek could get us. That's when Haman could get us. Amalek Berfidim Rafa Yudim and HaTorah. If we slack off, and that's when the enemies could get us. So those are the two Pshatim this far. And now we turn to our verse for another novel understanding. Writes Rav Shamshon Ful Hirsch as follows. Anyone who has learned Rav Hirsch Mishlei, and he doesn't explain the Sefer Pasuk by Pasuk, he groups together various Psukim that share similar ideas. He's talking about the right attitude that someone should have when pain, suffering, misfortune, predicaments, or ordeals come your way. And so the last Pasuk he cites is our Pasuk of Dalad Yud, and it's our piece of Yom Tzara, Atzar Kochacha. And he's not learning like Rashi, like Rabbeinu Yonah. And we're not talking about sitting on the sidelines and not getting involved in a friend's pain, in a friend's predicament, even though that seems to be the natural flow of the verses. As Rabbeinu Yonah points out, a verse says a different shot. He's talking about true Simcha Sachai. And writes a verse as follows. While true cheerfulness is a precious treasure, and must be distinguished from light-hearted nonchalance, which takes life easy in general, for which seriousness does not exist. And that attitude lives only for the present moment, thinks neither the future nor the consequences of actions. And what is the cheerfulness that Mishlei calls a precious possession? Inner serenity. When you have an inner serenity, a healthy sense of tranquility, of equanimity, a simcha sechaim that's internal, and that says, I'm always a living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that person knows that nothing can rock me and nobody can go in and control my future. And at the end of the day, everyone's in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you have that inner peace and tranquility, that gives you the ultimate simcha. As he says as follows, what happens if we show weakness on a day when suffering comes our way? Rav Hirsch learned the Pasuk. We're not talking about watching a friend undergoing a difficult time. We're talking about you're undergoing a difficult time. Achmatzan, you're in a predicament. You're in a deal. There's pain, agony coming your way. Hisra pisiv yom tzara. On your yom tzara, it's a day of affliction, a day of pain, and your life. And what do? Hisra pisa. You slack off in your faith, and you don't rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and means that the danger was more within us than without. And what was the real danger? The real danger was our own weakness. Why weren't we always working on Amudah Bitachon to prepare ourselves for the days of challenges, for the days of struggles? And must be, why were we feeling so sad? Because we didn't honestly, diligently work on ourselves all throughout our lives to prepare ourselves for these difficult times. So we always have to be machazik in Amunah. How do we remain strong in our Amunah? And we would have overcome the danger and come out of the struggle victorious. and situations of distress. It is the limitation in our own strength which constitutes the most regrettable factor. And that's why verse writes, what's kochacho? It's like yadcho, yadke, your weaker hand. It's weak in strength. Hisrapisu b'yom tzara. Have you slacked off and you were weak in a day of your agony, your affliction? And you know why? The reason is because tzar kochacho, because you allowed your own koach to be weakened. If you were working diligently, it's the same way we have Ashmini Atzeres and Asukus. Why we just had 3 weeks plus of Yom Tovim. And what's this idea? Explains to Shish Pigas the Gavaldi Gamosha. I think about Ashmini Atzeres. He asks the famous question. Why do we have Ashmini Atzeres, a new 8th day to Sukkos? Hashem says to Klai Yisrael, Kol Shailai Predasa. It's difficult to leave you, so well, let's have another day. Let's have another day, a private party. Forget about all the nations of the world, and it's just me and you, kid. Together, let's rejoice. What's Kashalai? Famous question. So now 1 day is over. So now still, it's Kashalai Predasim. How does having one extra day, what does it really do? And what's this lesson of Anivat and Agila Minaswachamach of the Simcha Shmini Atzeres? Writes Shushan Pekas and Teferi Shushan Parshas Emor as follows. Imagine you had a train. And the train has a lot of cars, a lot of cabins, a lot of cars, carrying perhaps a lot of cargo. And the engine of the train is in the first car. And you have the driver, you have the person leading the train, the conductor, and he's leading the train. And it's building up steam and building up momentum. And the engine is rolling. However much momentum was built up, what happens then if there's an accident? And the chain breaks between the first cabin, the first car that contains the engine, and all the other cars. If it was going at a very fast speed and building a momentum, and then if you're only a few miles left perhaps to your destination, if it was going very, very fast, even if the first car, the engine drops off, there was so much steam and momentum that built up, I could keep going. The energizer body, right? You roll it up, it's in, you press the button, and it could keep going now on its own, depending on how much koach you instilled within it. All right, so Shishan Pikas, what's going to keep us going through a long, cold, and dark winter? And what's going to, it's amazing. The hardest part of the year is what? And we don't have any yom tov midaraisa until Pesach. And the longer between Pesach, after Pesach, okay, we still have Shavuos, cheesecake and blintzes right around the corner. After Shavuos, no problem. We got Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot coming up right after the summer. The summer anyway is enjoyable. It's relaxing, beautiful, nice weather. Most difficult part of the year is when you're going now, the transition from fall into winter. And you're going to the short days, to the long, cold, and dark nights. And it's going to be a cold, it's cold in the snow, and it's freezing. And what's going to keep us going? So to Shushan Pinkus, I'm going to give you at the beginning of the year, and not just 1 week, 2 or 3 weeks of chazakah. Yes, a lot of meat, and a lot of chicken, a lot of wine, a lot of kiddush, a lot of mizonos. And a chanami. I build it up, and I'll spend the winter losing all that weight. That's from one perspective. But spiritually, what I want you to do? Inundate, saturate these days. More davening, more kedusha. All right, the Bnei Yisrael, you know why it's called Mar Cheshvan? A Mar Cheshvan is Marachshon Svosei. You daven so much in the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Shuvim, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. After you finished Tishrei and you go to Cheshvan, the lips are still moving on their own. Right, the Bnei Yisrael. I want you to daven so much, and when you daven so much, even when you stopped having all the tefillos every day, cheshvan is mar cheshvan merachshon svasei, and the lips still move on their own. Explains our Pinkus. I want you to fill Tishrei with Torah and mitzvahs. I want you to fill it with the shofar and the davening of Ne'ilah. And I want you to sit in a sukkah davening and think about it. There are more mitzvahs on Sukkot than in any of the other 7 mitzvahs characterize every day of Sukkot. And why? Pesach is just a matzah. A little bit of maror, maybe in the first night, and if you're not hungry the rest of the days, you don't even have that matzah. Over here, though, we're still shaking the lulavanes, we're still sitting in the sukkah. And why are we inundating ourselves with mitzvahs? Because the more you infuse kedusha, kachenu b'mitzvah secha, that's going to keep us going. That's the fuel. That's going to energize us and invigorate us for the long, cold, dark winter ahead. Even if we lose all the mitzvahs, we can keep going. And what demonstrates that? Explains the thing. Shmini Atzeres. What Shmini Atzeres? We drop all the mitzvahs. Shmini Atzeres. No more lulav and dalam minim. No more sitting in the sukkah. How are all the mitzvahs? How are we going to be happy? Our Shishar Megan says, not only are you going to be happy, this is the happiest day of the year. You know why it's the happiest day of the year? Because it's the day that shows you. And that if you do things right, you don't even need any mitzvahs to be happy. You don't even need a sukkah and a dalam minit. And you built up so much spiritual energy and momentum. And you're flying. Shmini lamalam and atzeva. Even though the first train, the engine, fell off by the side of the tracks, and you're still going full steam ahead because of all the mitzvahs that you did. Aslafinius night based on Rapingus, perhaps we can understand. Why did the Ashpizin visit us just on Sukkot? Why on Sukkot? Why don't they visit us 7 days of Pesach, seven Ashpizin? Let them come Pesach time. Why did they come on Sukkot? Many different explanations. And we know that they're there with us in the Sukkot. Famous Kutzke Rebbe. Chosse came into the Rebbe from Kutzk. He says, Rebbe, did you hear? There's a certain Hasidic Rebbe in another part of Europe, and he said he saw the Yishpizin. He saw Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and he saw them coming into a sukkah. And what a big tzaddik he is. Kutz Rebbe says, big tzaddik. He says, I don't see them, but I know they're there. It's more tzidkis to believe that they're there, even though you don't see them, to see them. Ah, seeing is believing. Ah, he saw them, now he believes them. I know that they're there with me, even though I don't see them. I want some shot that they're coming to visit us. So perhaps, like Rapinkus, we can explain as follows. My family and I, we were in Eretz Yisrael, as you know, from mid-June to mid-July, beginning of a mini-sabbatical. And so I had two Balabatim from the shul. They called me up from the States, and they said, Rabbi Finder, we want to know if we fly to Eretz Yisrael. I know you're on sabbatical, and I know we're not supposed to bother you. We'll call you or text you. But if we fly to Eretz Yisrael just for a day and a half, 2 days, can we learn with you for a little bit, and can we go with you to the Gedolah? I said, you know what? If you're going to spend the money, and you're going to spend the time, and you're going to get permission from your wives, and you're going to get on a plane, if you do that, and you show me the ruts, and you really want to do that, I have to say to Gamar Meyachos. They got on a plane, and they came to Eretz Yisrael. We sat and learned in my study for an hour, and then we went out to Bnei Brak. I had somebody who was very close to Chaim Kanevsky, they go in the Hadar. And we daven Marav with Rav Gershon Edelstein Rosh Yeshiva Ponovich, and we spent a few minutes with him. We stopped by Roberto Povarsky, another Rosh Yeshiva Ponovich, and spent a few minutes with him privately. And then we had 12 minutes sitting alone with Rav Chaim Kanevsky, the Golden Hador. We were sitting alone. It's me and Rav Chaim Kanevsky right there, and these two Balabatim. And they never had that their whole lives. Private time with the Golden Hador, and they were blown away, and they got to ask certain questions, and had an amazing time. And then we got back into the car. I said, okay, what are you guys doing now? I said, Rabbi Fana, we'll tell you the truth. And we thought, once we're here ready, and now it's 10 o'clock at night, we didn't eat dinner because we had the learning and then we went to Bnei Brak. We thought we'd go out to a restaurant. But after sitting for 12 minutes with Chaim Kanevsky, how can we eat in a restaurant now? How can we spend money? Oh, have a prime rib. We'll have a big, juicy pastrami hamburger. How can we eat in a restaurant? I said, you're right. I said, let's go back and learn more. And we went back into my study and we learned another 45 minutes in Masos Yisharim. And I said, who needs to eat dinner? And they were mamish on fire. They met the Gavadar 12 minutes. And they had a night and then learning. And they were mamish pumped up. I said to them, reminded me, there was a sick person from this neighborhood who came years ago. I was there Hanukkah when we were in Etzel Hanukkah time. And there was a person who told me he needs 8 hours of sleep a night to function properly. And he needs 8 hours of sleep. He went to Etzel and he says somehow in Etzel he was able to go the adrenaline. That's pumping. He was able to go on 5 hours of sleep a night. He doesn't know how. I took him to Chaim Kanevsky. He said he didn't even need to sleep that night. He was so energized. He was so pumped up. He was almost nucleus. So like Rosh Hashanah, I think it's very good. We're going into a long, cold, dark winter. We don't have a yontem in the Raisa until Pesach. Even if they're a modern like Hanukkah, we have to wait a few months. And what's going to keep us going? Hashem says, I'm going to send you a Chaim Kanevsky plus. I'm going to give you seven Chaim Kanevskis. I'm going to give you the Gedoliola. Who's going to come visit you? Not just Chaim Kanevsky, Avraham Avinu, Yitzhak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu. Bring them all in. Bring them into my sukkah. Oh, wow. Now I have all the seven mitzvahs of the 7 days. And I was visited by the greatest people we've had in the history of Yiddishkeit. They were in my sukkah with me. Of course, there's the question. How can Yitzchak be in my sukkah? Yitzchak, I thought, is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. If Yitzchak's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, how did he make it into a sukkah? The answer is, because your sukkah is a miniature Eretz Yisrael. All right, it's the building to go. In two mitzvahs, you go in with your whole body. Yishev Eretz Yisrael. And the sukkah. Sukkah is a miniature base of mikdash. Sukkah gematria, samach vav chafei 91. Gematria, heichal Hashem. Heichal Havaya. You're going into the heichal Hashem. Heichal Havaya. You're going to a miniature base of mikdash. All right, it's the groan. It's malach. It's the right. It's the dumpster. And that's kedusha. Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. He's in our sukkah. Why? Because our sukkah is Eretz Yisrael. And you have Eretz Yisrael. So Avram, Yitzchak, they all want to come join us. And now we got visited by all the Gedolei HaDorah. Now we're ready to go. We have so much energy. And we're ready to go. And that's going to carry us through. We can't slack off. And that's the idea of you got to build the strength, right? So Hirsch, if you just say, oh, came the Nisayon, came the predicament, the ordeal, if you weren't preparing for it, if you didn't muster up the koch to prepare for this moment in time, then what happens? It's going to lead to tears. It's going to lead to agony. But if we spend all our days when things are good, preparing for those times, knowing that life is a roller coaster. There are ups and downs. It's the vicissitudes of life. And how are we going to go ahead? And with and pass the Nisayonos, we have to prepare all these days. In fact, someone had told me, I heard it a little bit, by the Shimon, but when the Kaplans, Achman al-Islam, when they lost the Chosin Kala in that tragic car accident earlier this year, so they asked Mrs. Kaplan, Shimon, well, how do you have the koch? You lost your daughter in such a tragedy. How do you have the koch? She said, what do you mean? Isn't this what we spent our whole lives working for? Don't we spend our whole lives working on Emunah B'Tochen for those tragic times that we know are going to come our way? Rachman al-Islam, we all have ups and downs. She says, my whole life? Says, this is what I have to work for. I have to take that emunah that I've been working on my whole life, and I have to now apply it. Zotav Hirsch, his apisa, but if you're going through life and you're slacking off and you're not working on Torah mitzvahs, what's going to happen on the day of your tzara? You're not going to have the requisite strength. But learning like Moshe Rishonim, again, we're talking about saving other people, helping other people, or like the Asha Chaliz davening for other people. And that seems to be the context, and it seems to be even more evident by now the ensuing psukim. As we take a look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hatzel lekuchem lamalvis, omotem leherek im tach shoch. What is tach shoch? Lo chasachto es binchos yichirchem, and you didn't hold back. And what should you do? Hatzel, go ahead and save. But im tach shoch from Hatzel, if you hold back from saving, the kuchem lamalvis, those taken out to death, omotem leherek, those who are inclined, they're in the direction, they're noted, they're being taken already out to be murdered. If you're going to hold back, then what's going to happen? Then Hashem says, I'm going to go ahead and hold back from you. I'm not going to save you. Writes Rashi. And when it comes to saving those taken out to be killed, or those who are inclined towards murder, and Tav Sukhman, that's if you hold back, withhold your ability to save them, to rescue them, Al Zel Marti Tzar Kochecha, then when you're in a Tzar and you need help, Amay Malacham are not going to come help you. I'm not going to send you Siyat and Ishmael. It's always Mida Kenegan Mida. If you live life to help out other people, Hashem says, then when you're in a Tzar, I'm going to take care of you, and I will give you all that you need. Continuing that subject, that train of thought. Ki somar, ki can have various interpretations. Over here it means im. If, ki somar, if you will say, hein lo yodanu, zeh, nobody knows about this. I'm on the sidelines. I know Reuven, Shimon, Rachel, Leah, they're going through difficulties. And nobody knows. I'm not going to do anything about it. What do you mean? Somebody knows. Who knows? Hashem Yisparach. Halo tochein libo suyovin. Who dwells in our hearts? Hashem Yisparach, who is the Leif Kol Adam, who dwells, Tochein, who has established himself and dwells, resides in Libos B'nei Adam, in the hearts of mankind. Who Yavin? Yirmiyah Navi, Perket Zayin, Hashem is the Choker Leif, Obochein Klayas. He knows what you're thinking inside your heart of heart. He understands our tenth animam, and what? Hashem punishes us based not only on our Maisim, on our Machshavos and Emar. Hayotzer yachad libom, ha-maven el-koma seim. Hashem is maven. He understands the driving force in our hearts. Person says, I wasn't able to help. I wasn't able to give tzedakah. I wasn't able to rescue this person. I wasn't able to be a shoulder for her to lean on. Hashem understands. Halo token libos u'yavin. And he knows to what degree you were able to help and to what degree perhaps you were not able to assist. Avanotzer nafshecha hu'yeda. Hashem is the protector of your nefesh. Hashem is watching from the outside. And you have to know, if you don't protect somebody else's nefesh, then Hashem, who is the protector of all nefeshes, is not going to reciprocate and protect your nefesh. Hashem is the protector of everybody. And who yenda? Hashem knows. Ve'eshev la'odem kefalo. And Hashem is going to pay you back in accordance with your actions. But as the Rishonim point out, the obvious diuk, heishiv la'odem, and not follow, kifalo. And what's kifalo? I like your actions, meaning what? Sometimes, practically, you can help. And maybe you don't have the money to assist that person. And maybe you're not in that zone and you can't visit that sick person in the hospital. And what's kifalo? You did as much as you could possibly help. You tried your best. It's as if you helped. Kifalo, even if you didn't lamaisa do anything. And but the Gemara tells us in Brachos Daf Vav Amud Aleph and Kedushin on the Tesef Beis, as someone who is machashev lasas maisa mitzvah. And below also, because when you were known as you weren't there, you couldn't do anything. Neshof kilu asot, as if you did it. Hashem says, I know in your hearts of hearts where you're able to do it, you're not able to do it. And the Maral elaborates on this thing. The Maral says, in the beginning of Netzach Yisrael, says there are two types of ritzonos. All right, the Maral, you can have a ritzon person says, I want to do a mitzvah. And what do you do? I want to do Bikur Cholim. I want to visit so-and-so in the hospital today. And I want to go ahead and stop and pick up flowers, maybe bring them some food, and some lunch. And you get into your car. Oh, and the car doesn't start. Oh, Hashem, I tried. I tried, look, and the car is there, so you went to the car, and I went, hey, you got a flat tire, oh, that's a simon, I can't go in and do it, right? And yeah, that's it, any excuse to get out of it. Stop, that's not a rotzen that gets you credit as if you did a mitzvah. To get credit in Misha Chosha Vlasas Maisa Mitzvah is what? Hashem says, I'm testing you. Person, oh, that was a simon, I got the flat, that's it, I got, oh, I'm not supposed to go to the And that's a test of the Yitzhara. If you're doing something good, if it's too easy and too smooth, and you want to visit someone in the hospital, all of a sudden Hashem says, you know what, I'm going to clear the clouds away. It's going to be 75 degree perfect San Diego weather, and all the lights are going to turn green, and your car is going to be comfortable and clean, and you're going to sit in as a full tank of gas, and it's, oh, everything, you just had had your Jiffy Lube service or your oil change, and everything is perfect, and you're feeling great, and you had a great lunch, and you stop, and there's a parking space right in front of the flower shop, right in front of the lunch store, you got the yogurt, you got the flowers, and you go, and it's green light after green light, you pull up front, everything, if it's too good, and then we got to worry, something's a little wrong over here. If it's on the way to do a mitzvah, it's on, always tries to give little stumbling blocks. And Hashem is testing us, explains the Maral, is the attitude of, Hashem, I wanted to do it, but I got stuck in the way. I couldn't get a parking space. My car didn't start. Someone who really wants to do it is going to go in and do it. And that's the real test. I mean, so if the car doesn't start, you borrow someone else's car. You'll take an Uber. You'll take a cab. There's always a way to get there. If a person really wants to, Hashem will always give you the siyata d'shmaya. That's what Hashem wants to see. And from the end of the day, you really wanted to, and you tried everything at your disposal, and in the end, the upshot was you were unsuccessful. And then Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to give you credit. Hey, Shavladam Kifalo, even if it didn't pan out and your machshavas didn't actualize, no problem, I'm going to give you in accordance. But don't ever say, Hashem knows exactly what you were able to contribute and what you were able to help and what you weren't able to help. That's the Choker Lev and the Bochen claims.
So someone who's sitting Shiva and can't learn Torah, he's an onus. Why is it not?
That's right.
He would if he could. So it's... Why should he not have the protection?
Ain't a chanami. If Hashem knows that the person really would if he could, and he would go on and learn every second, and then if that's his rotzen, if he's thinking that rotzen every second, part of what I think the Klei Yoker is saying is that practically he can't even be wanting to every second because he's sitting on the floor. When he's sitting idle, he wants to go in and sit and learn. He wants to learn more than anything else. At those moments, he has protection. Asa says, I'm going to be sitting Shiva next to him. And then Menachem, we're going to be coming in, and they're going to be talking to us, and he can't possibly be thinking of learning in that second. Then I'll just take out the dagger, and I'll get him right in the side. And during the mess, he won't have the same protection. He won't be thinking actively.
But he's still doing what he's supposed to be doing.
He is doing, but he won't have that special protection of the Torah. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing, but it still is not the same level of protection as the Torah itself. Chaim Kanevsky, supposedly years ago, they asked him from Lakewood, it was they had a hookup, and they said, do we need to hire security? And Lakewood, he says, if they're learning, you don't need any security. Torah's going to be a shmirah. He says, well, wait a second. Do they let the Yungalite, do the Avreichim bring cell phones into the Bate? If they bring cell phones into the base matters, then you need security. Because once you bring cell phones into the base matters, it's not the same protection. It's not the same protection anymore. If a person's going to interrupt because their spouse is calling, and they're gonna, it's not the same full-fledged protection from Torah.
If they are the EMTs.
That's a separate story. So as an EMT, again, they don't need necessarily cell phones. They have their radios. They have their the walkie-talkies. Okay? So Hashem knows how much we can help and how much we can't help. Now let's just close with Psukim Yud Gimel and Yud Aleph in one continuous train of thought. So now this is why Chachamim understood the beginning of today's discussion in Sopisa. And why did we focus on Torah? Why did we focus on slacking off of Torah? Because what's going to be the end of these psukim? Echom, we're going to talk about the sweetness of the Torah. And don't slack off. What's going to prevent us from slacking off in Torah? And that's why I think, like Rosh Hashanah Pinchas, what unites, what merges with Shemini Atzeres? Simchas Torah. What keeps us going? And dance, labor, think with the Torah. Taste the sweetness and enjoyment of the Torah. And that's going to energize you in the months ahead. Echo b'ni d'mash ki tov. So what was the problem? It's for peace. If you own Torah, you slacked off in Torah and the Torah mitzvahs didn't protect you. And so what's the problem? Echo b'ni, my dear beloved son. I want you to eat this honey and because it's sweet. And what's the sweetness? Right, so Rashi kol medach b'ni adam lechol d'mash ki tovu. But what we know, people eat honey because it's sweet. But what are we talking about? To run after Chochmah, to run after wisdom, to run after the Torah. Echumani Dvash Kitov, I want you to eat honey because it's sweet and it's good. Venofes Mosuk Achikecha. And the drippings, Venofes, what does David say? Tell him Yeteshit Aleph. Torah is Mesukami Dvash Venofes Tzufin. Sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycombs. It's Matok, it's sweet. What's the difference between Arev and Matok? Right? So Meir Simcha Lemeshach Chochmah. A matok is something that inherently, intrinsically is sweet. Torah is mesukim midvash. What is dvash? Matok. Matok is something that's sweet. Mar is something that's bitter. So we know based on the Gemara brachas, anytime someone gives you a bracha, what does the Gemara say? You're supposed to answer back, v'chein lamar. V'chein lamar, or v'chein legeveret, right? V'chein lamar. And so too, shayu, you're supposed to give the bracha back. So they say, yes, but on Rosh Hashanah, when we switch the salt for the honey, when someone gives you a bracha, you're supposed to say, v'chein lamatok. V'chein lamatok. Instead of v'chein lamar means, and so to you, there's mar, there's geveret. Amar is really, and to you, mister, but mar also means bitter. So we say v'chein lamatok, and we always say manu, matok, a sweet person, etc. So v'chein lamatok, honey is sweet. What's arev? Arev is something that's only sweet because it's an ervuvia. It's a concoction, it's a mixture, because you mixed other ingredients in, that's what made it sweet. But honey is sweet all by itself. Honey's the only thing in the world that never spoils, it never decays. And never loses its sweetness. So my son, eat honey because it's sweet. Enjoy the sweetness of the drippings of the honeycombs. Achikech on your cheek, on your palate. I want you to enjoy it. Why do I want you to enjoy it? Why do we give children the honey, the candies? And when they start to learn Torah, so they can appreciate, you think this is sweet? I wait until you taste the sweetness of wisdom, the sweetness of the Torah. And thus he continues, Kain de'e chokma, just like you enjoy the drippings of the honeycombs and the sweetness of the honey, and now you should know wisdom. Attach yourself to wisdom. De'e chokma l'nafshecha, bring it into your nefesh, just like your goof, your body likes the sweetness of the honey, and now sustain your nefesh, your neshama, with the even sweeter words of wisdom. Imatzasa, if you found it, because not everybody finds it. And Yagata Matzasa. Gemara Megillah, Daf Amud Beis. And Yagata Matzasi Tamin. Only one who's going to find the sweetness is someone who works, someone who toils, someone who says it's just going to come on its own. Doesn't come on its own. You got to work for it. Well, listen to this. And a sefer of the collected minhagim of the Yeshiva Tor V'Das. At the back, they have little biographical sketches of the various Rosh Yeshiva of Tor V'Das. By Rav Simcha Sheps, in the back of the sefer, as they write, and a footnote that when he came from Europe to America, he thought, you know what, I grew up in Europe. He says he learned by Rav Chana Wasserman Abramovich. Then he learned by Rabbi Yerucham Lubavitch in the Mir. And then he learned by the Brisker Rav. And he saw the passion, the bren, and the heslavas, the rischa deraisa, and the passion and the anger for Torah. There would be fighting in the base matters. He came over to America to Tor V'Das, and he says, where's the passion? And why aren't people as excited? Why aren't they standing up and arguing it out? He says, it must be that this is America. I must be in America. It could be that the kids are raised that they don't have the same enthusiasm. And he thought that, okay, he downed them the kapschus, and they just don't have the same passion. He says, then he went out one of the first days and he saw them playing basketball. And once he saw them playing basketball and he saw them fighting for the ball and fighting and arguing, he says, oh, they do have the rizah. And they do have the passion, because you only fight for what you believe in. You only fight, you're fighting for the ball, you're fighting for the shot, you're fighting for the extra point, the foul, etc. That's because you're passionate. He says, oh, they do have the passion. They just have the passion for basketball, not for learning. So we have to channel that passion and we have to redirect it into the learning. He says, but at least they have it. He says, Baruch Hashem, he was happy when he was watching them play basketball because he saw that they have it. We have to do what? Channel it, but it takes yigiyah. You got to work. It doesn't just come automatically. So you should know wisdom, but it's more meaningful. Honey is sweet. But what happens, writes the Chofetz Chaim? How much honey can you enjoy? How many candies can you enjoy? First spoonful is geschmack, it's sweet, writes the Chofetz Chaim. Second one is the third one. After four or five already, you're getting sick. Seven, eight candies, you're getting sick. Torah, the more you have, the sweeter it gets. That's why Torah is misukim midvash v'nefesufim. Because even honey, anything in the world of gashmi, if you have too much of it, you get sick of it. You can have your favorite prime rib and your favorite dinner, but if you eat too much of it, if you have too much steak, too much wine, what happens? You get sick. Anything in the world of gashmi, if you go overboard, it makes you sick, and it gives you a state of discomfort. Torah is the opposite. The more you have, the more sweetness, the more pleasure it gives you. But in matzasa, how are you going to find it? In miyagati matzasa. If you work hard, then you'll find it. V'yishakras, and there'll be an achras you will have. An eternity, an infinity, olam haba, and that's what's going to keep you going forever. Ayish acharis, v'tikvaschol, v'tikaris, and your hopes, and all your hopes and dreams and aspirations will never be cut off, explains Rashi. If you work and you find wisdom, and you learn the Torah, etc., you can have a future, and you're not going to be cut off, Hashem's going to take good care of you, and that's the pay, that's the hashlama. If you slack off, then things, it's going to be a problem. But if you strengthen yourself in Torah, and to Eichachma, you want to connect and know more and more knowledge, and you're going to be miyage, you're going to work hard at it, then you can have the protection, you can have the emunah, you can have everything you need to go through life, and you can have tikvascha, hopes towards the future, you can have an acharis, a gan eden, an olam haba, ve'ez Hashem Yisrach. Have a wonderful day, and Hashem will continue next Monday. Have a great rest of the week.
The taste is the vote. Right? The first time he says the taste.